Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Sometimes people don't believe. It's a strange thing, but believers don't believe, even though they're called believers. They don't believe what the Lord says about them because they assess their fellowship with the Lord, or really I should say their relationship with the Lord, based on their performance rather than based on Jesus' performance. But Jesus has made you one with the Father. Now I'm going to read a scripture that proves that to you real quick. It says this in I believe it's in Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read this to you. Colossians chapter 2. And then I'm going to read another one to you in Colossians chapter 3. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, this is how unified you are with God. It says this, Colossians 2, 13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he," talking about the Lord, "has made alive together with him." In other words, you've been made alive with Jesus Christ. So when Jesus Christ was made alive, you were made alive at the same time. That's how God sees you. So he doesn't see you as the old, you know, people will say, "Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace." Well, you're not saved if you're still a sinner. All right? Now, what people will, they'll try to quote certain passages along those lines and argue that we should still call ourselves sinners, but the only place Paul said, "I'm a sinner," and what he was saying was, "I was the chief of sinners." And if you look at the translation, he's implying about his past. He's not implying about right now. Most, 99.9% of the revelation of the New Testament, as far as the epistles are concerned, is a revelation of who you are in Christ. And in order for that to dominate you, you have to see what he said about you. So we all are aware of the fact that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that we deserved, many times we are, and that we deserved judgment, wrath, all of those things of God. But then we don't, many times in the church, we're not taught who we are after we're born again. We're taught one side of the gospel, which is the justice side of the gospel, which is not wrong. We should all know that, you know, how many have seen The Passion of the Christ or something similar to that? And you saw the punishment that Jesus went through. You deserved that for your sin. People say, no, "I was never a gang leader or a drug dealer or a murderer." I know, but just by nature of the fact that at any point you've ever rejected God, it's the same as if you went a long ways into sin. Okay? So that payment was for you and for me. We should understand that, because there's a holy reverence that comes out of that, of knowledge, of basically not only a heart of love toward the Father because of what he did in order to redeem us. In other words, the cross was a revelation of our condition, but it was also a revelation of what we would be if we moved on in our relationship with the Lord. So in other words, we do this with water baptism, but I deserve to be hung on the cross, but Jesus did it for me. I deserve to be judged, to be whipped, to be beat, to have a crown of thorns put on my head, to be to basically have all the things that happened to Jesus. I deserved that, but Jesus took my place. But let me ask you this, did Jesus stay on the cross? So why are you? And people say, "But the Lord said, take up." Yeah, but he didn't, that's take up your cross, not his. You can't pay for your sin. Sorry. I mean, that's good news, but, you know, people say, "Well, I'm going to do penance." No such thing. Amen. Glory to God. It's true. There's no such thing. You can't pay for your sins. If you could have, Jesus wouldn't have come. If you could redeem you, why give the promise? Why give redemption as a promise before the law? You can't redeem you. Only God could redeem you. And that's good news, because how many think God does a good job at redemption? Hello. He knows how to get it done. Amen. So you need to say this. You need to say, in Christ, I'm redeemed. Paid in full. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful God didn't give me a half-baked redemption. It works all the way to the end. Amen? And I'm going to ride grace like, you know what I mean? Till the very end. So we're going to get all the way there. But let me read this again. Colossians 2:13. And it says, in you being dead in trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with Christ, or with him. Watch this now, second half of this verse. Having forgiven you what? All trespasses. How many did he forgive? All of them. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, are you unified with God if your life is hidden with Christ in God? Oh, yeah, you're in there. That's where you are. Amen? And so when we sing songs, you know, like, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied and all of those things, that you've redeemed my life, you've got to realize you are completely redeemed. You are completely saved. The struggle that many believers have is simply this. They don't know how to live from the inside out. They allow their thoughts, the world system, and their thoughts and their feelings to govern them instead of the written word of God to govern them. I've been pastoring and in ministry for like 17 years now, okay? Maybe 18 years. Or doing some form of ministry, but pastoring for sure 16 full-time years where I was paid to do it, right? This is my job. And I have seen it over and over and over and over and over and over, and I'm going to say it again for emphasis, and over again. Christians will go to everything but the written word of God to try to find their answer. And then at the very end, they'll go, well, I guess I got to go back to the word. Don't bother running anywhere else. Just come here first. I've watched it so many times. Christians will fight to have their unbelief. You read them a scripture and they're like, well, I just don't believe it that way. Well, then stay in your confusion and in your misery. Just don't pass it on to the rest of us who are enjoying their relationship with the Lord. Amen? It's amazing to me, but the Bible is right. People say, well, I need Benny Hinn to come and pray for me. No, you don't. It'd be nice if he did. He's fine. He's got a good healing ministry. I get it. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes, you were healed. That word works whether a minister is here or not. Because the Holy Spirit is ever brooding over this word. What do you mean by that? He's fluttering over it. He's waiting for you to open up your heart and faith and say, Lord, all right, let's do this. I trust your word. And the Lord will say, come on, walk on the water with me. Come on, come on, come on. You're a water walker. Come, come. And you just got to go, yep, going. God's name is faithful. You know what God's name never is? Unfaithful. He is not Jehovah schizophrenia. He is not Jehovah confused. He is not Jehovah. He doesn't know his identity. He knows his identity. And if we will come to him and rest on his word in what seems like good or bad times, keep fellowshipping with him, his word will work. He is faithful to carry your life, if you put your trust in him, from the moment of your natural birth into all of eternity. I love what that hymn says, that we sing it sometimes, but it talks about my anchor holds within the veil. And talking about Christ, we are secure in him. Amen. If you want your confidence to continue to increase and be established, in other words, if you want your life to be on bedrock, you have to dig deep in the word and apply the word daily. In other words, I'll put it to you like this, very simply, let the word govern what you think, what you say, and what you do. And if you do that, it may seem like, well, I got saved 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like I've made much progress. You start doing that, you'll start seeing a difference. It will work for you, amen? God's word is full of integrity. It never fails, amen? And he's so faithful. Well, that's a little encouragement for you. I did this in the first service, and I want to do it in this service. Just say thank you to all of you for the meetings that we had last week, everybody that served, participated. If you just showed up, thanks, because you didn't sit there and not draw on the ministry, because it was great, amen? How many enjoyed Joseph Z? How many think we ought to bring him in one more time, maybe, huh? All right, well, the good news is he loved being here. I asked him, I said, how easy was it to preach? He goes, it is so easy. I said, yeah, they're good people. They're hungry for God. And we keep increasing. We keep finding the hungry people. And they're like, ooh, this is a good place to be. They're hungry around there. You know, keep growing in love and relationships and developing. And he said, verbally, we talked, and he's open to come again. And this is a good thing, because as a ministry like his, he turns away, I'll just share this, I don't think it's any big secret, but he has to turn away about 50% of the meetings that he gets asked to go to. So we're on the 50% that gets him back. So you're talking about like a ministry that's booked out through to 2026 already. And he said, but we could make some adjustments if you want to. And I thought, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for trusting us and divine connections. Amen. And then he also said, too, he said, any of my minister friends that you know, he said, if you want them to come, let me know. Praise the Lord. That's good news, right? God is helping us to be a hub and to host what I call generals in the body of Christ. Amen. How many know we all have a rank in Christ as far as our relationship with the Lord, but then the Lord has ranks within his body to do work? And I'm thankful that we get to host them, and it makes a big difference, not only that, you know, obviously me and Heidi and the staff need to have our stuff together, but you guys have your stuff together too, and you're playing a part from everybody, from parking to people being greeted as they, it all has the potential of releasing the presence of God with hearts of faith united to heaven, amen? And so we're going to continue to have growth in those areas, and it's going to be awesome, and you and I both are going to fulfill what God has for us personally and corporately, amen? You know, I pray that over you. It's true. You know why? Because I want you to have just as much satisfaction in your relationship with the Lord and what you're doing with him as I do. And one thing I've found out, the closer you get to the Lord, you care less and less about anything in the natural. True satisfaction is in the Spirit. Amen? So, wanted to just share that with you and say thank you for that and praise God for it. Amen? So, also have another announcement. You know, in the process of us growing, we're constantly, I shouldn't say constantly, but frequently making adjustments and changes. And so before we get into the message this morning, I have an announcement concerning our Faith Kids ministry. So Pastor Herb will be stepping down from that position as the children's pastor. August 25th will be his last Sunday here as the pastor. Through the process of the years, this would have been 2 years ago now, we were looking for a children's pastor, and Pastor Herb said, you know, I feel like, he said to me, he said, I don't feel like this is my call, but I feel like I need to be in this position to facilitate the growth that is happening in the church. And so I said, yeah, I agree with that. You know, we knew going in that this would be for a season, that him and Deborah would help us out down there and get everything organized and structured. And I'm telling you what, they have really helped the pastoral staff, Pastor Heidi and me, with taking a burden there and doing some great work and organizing and bringing structure and helping with us being basically being the arm, our hands and feet. I almost said arms and legs, but that it would include that too. Our hands and feet down there and helping us establish more and more of what we saw the Lord wanted to do down there. So they've done a really great job with that. And in talking with Pastor Herb, I mean, obviously, we've been talking about this for months now, but he said, yeah, I feel like it's time. You know, it's time for me to be done. I need to move on, and so we're going to be making changes down there, but I wanted to encourage you guys to please, especially if you're parents, please tell them thank you for what they've done and the work that they've put in. I mean, you know how much work your kids are? All right? And we're obviously not trying to be their parents. That's not our job. That's your job. But to facilitate growth and minister the word to them and do all the different things that they were responsible for with Faith Kids Summer Adventure and all of that stuff, plus the organizational things that went on, they did a great job for us for the last, well, it'll be 2 years, and then they're going to move on to whatever the Lord has for them next. Now, I will add this to it. They're not leaving the church, okay? Me and Pastor Herb didn't get in a boxing match. And, you know, he doesn't like me anymore, and I don't like him. It has nothing to do with that. It's just seasons change, amen? And we all have jobs to do. So Heidi will be heading up that area down there, and she'll be working with teams down there, and we're continuing to grow and make adjustments. So it's a good thing, amen? So when you see them, be sure to thank them and bless them. And then on the 25th of August, which is the last Sunday of obviously next month, they'll be Pastor Herb will be sharing with the congregation, and we'll honor them officially in that service. Amen? Are you good with that? All right. I like to give forward advance because I don't like to. I've been in ministries before where it was like, okay, so and so is quitting today, and they're gone, and they'll never be back. You know, and you hear it from the pulpit that day, and it's like, oh, you know, what happened? So I like to give in advance just in case people want to know ahead of time so it's not a shock. All right, let's go in our Bibles to Romans chapter 12. You guys doing all right? Is it summertime? But how many know God's still on the throne in summertime? Amen. You can get from the Word of God today anything you need, and by the Spirit of God, He's always available. We have quite a few people out on vacation and stuff like that, and that's good for them to get away and rest. Just wait till school locks everybody back in again. You may have shoulder room right now, but it won't last. All right, elbow room. It won't last, amen? All right, so we're in a series called The Gift of Righteousness, and we've been talking about righteousness. I'm just going to review a couple of things here. First, I want to give you the definition of righteousness, which is the first thing we looked at. But righteousness is the state of being right or justified. This is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without the sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed. I love that statement. It is right standing with God. It is uprightness. It is being justified. The word justified means to render innocent. And these are definitions straight out of like Strong's Concordance, Vines, and Thayer's. These are Hebrew and Greek lexicons. New Testament is Greek. But justified means to render innocent, to declare guiltless, and to pronounce acceptable. We looked at this. We looked at the fact that righteousness is not a feeling. It is a position. Righteousness is perfect unity with God through Christ Jesus. That's what it is. That's your position in the kingdom with your Father God. You have unity with Him. Why? Because of Christ Jesus. All right? And there's a lot that could be said there. But we need to keep moving through the message here. So far we've looked at this definition of righteousness. We looked at the threefold nature of man. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, you live in a body. We discovered the need for salvation or for righteousness. Why did we need righteousness? And the answer is because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? That's the reason why we need righteousness, because we were unrighteous. And then we looked at how we attain that righteousness. There were two passages that I looked at specifically to answer those two questions. The first one being, why do we need righteousness? And the section of scripture that I felt like described it the best was Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through Romans chapter 3, verse 20. And that basically, what that does is it puts the sentence over all humanity that you are under sin without Christ. That every person is a sinner outside of Christ. And they need a Savior. Now, people will deny that and come up with all sorts of reasons they'll jump around and make excuses and hold to their unbelief and their rebellion of God. But ultimately, righteousness or God's justice in this will win out in the end. In other words, they're going to be found guilty, amen, that they needed a Savior. And then to answer the question of how is righteousness attained, we looked at Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through Romans chapter 5, verse 21, and we answered that question there. So what I want to move on to today, as soon as I read through this brief overview, is building or establishing a righteous mindset within us. Building or establishing a righteous mindset in us. Once we know the definition of righteousness, once we understood the threefold nature of man, once we understood why we needed righteousness, and then we answered the question how righteousness is attained, now that we've answered all of those points, now we need to understand how to build or how to establish a righteous consciousness within us. In other words, I'll say it this way, to have a righteous mindset. So if I'm gonna establish a pattern of thinking as a believer in my mind concerning the reality of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for me, I've got to have knowledge of what that is. And once I see that knowledge, I need to make that knowledge a part of my thinking. I need to make that knowledge a part of my speaking. And then I need to make that knowledge a part of my doing, or I put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Okay, so you guys are listening good, praise the Lord. So Jesus, what did he accomplish? Jesus justified us. He made us righteous. So what does that mean? In the New Testament, I'll get my tongue untangled here. In the New Testament, it means more than to forgive sin and to remove condemnation. It means also to place the offenders, in the position of righteousness. God blots out the past with all its sin and then considers the sinner as if they had never sinned. Now that's good news. So this is basically what happened through the blood of Christ is what took place. The Bible calls it propitiation. Propitiation is a fancy word for paid for. Okay? How many would like somebody to hand you a new pair of shoes and they handed them to you and you say, well, what do I own? They say, it's paid for. Okay? Now, this is better than that. Way better than that. All right? This is Jesus paid for your redemption and my redemption. That means that right now you hold a position of unity with God that Jesus has. Hello. I know that scares religious people. Did you know that? They're like, what? Because they know about the judgment side. They know about the justice side of God, but they don't know about the justification side of God. The Bible says that God is the just and the justifier. What does that mean? That means he took care of sin in his justice by putting his wrath on Jesus in my place as a payment, a propitiation. Jesus was my payment for my sin. And then as I put my faith in Jesus, now my sin is paid for by Jesus. And then he is the justifier. What does that mean? That means when he raised Jesus from the dead, he said all the payment is complete for the redemption of humanity. Now, go like this. Are you human? Then you paid for in Jesus. Now, does that mean everybody's saved? No. You have to choose Jesus. You know, there's people, there's false doctrines out there. They say, oh yeah, Jesus paid for the sin of the whole world. So, you know, even the devil is going to be redeemed in the end. Man, if some people's brains were dynamite and it went off all at once, it wouldn't be enough power to blow their nose. Right? That's not what the scripture teaches at all. Now, that's going to be one of the most difficult parts of judgment for the person that rejected Christ. They're going to see that it was all paid for and they rejected it. Whew. That's going to be tough, isn't it? That's going to be tough. But what Jesus did for the believer, and this is where many believers don't see this. They don't realize that his blood has made them clean completely. And that, listen to me, the Bible says that Jesus, and this is the King James Version, he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. What does that mean? That means all the time, that he's alive forever, right? He is constantly interceding on your behalf. In other words, he's going to the Father and go, they're ours, Father. They're redeemed, Father. My blood paid for their sins. They are righteous in me. When they pray, Father, you hear them through me. He's interceding on their behalf. Have you ever interceded for somebody before? Prayed for their salvation. Have you ever prayed for a family member? Prayed for a neighbor? You start to ask God, God, I ask you to open their eyes to understand who they are in you. God, I ask that you would open their eyes and remove the blinders off their eyes so that they would see that they need Jesus. You begin to intercede for that person, right? Imagine Jesus doing that for you and me all the time. So how bad is your position with God? So stop giving him the cold shoulder. You say, what? Stop giving God the cold shoulder. Some of you think, well, there's no point in talking to him, and he's up there going, I would love to talk to you. Well, I've done this wrong and that wrong all week. I know you have, and he knows you have. And you know what he says? Come boldly to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Stop trying to beat the demons on your own. It's better to have an angel army with you. And I'm going to say this, but I don't mean it harshly at all. It's pride to think you can do it without him, or that you need to clean yourself up before you get there. Amen? He's the payment for your sins. Jesus' blood has never ceased in its efficacy, its effectiveness. All right? He shed his blood once, and the power remains at the same level. Amen. Isn't that good news? Yeah, I can feel minds relax. Boy, I'll tell you though, you know what the worst spirit to fight is? Religious spirit. Man, it's a tough thing. I think some of the strongest strongholds in people's minds is the spirit of religion. You say, what do you mean by that? Anything that tells you that you have to do something to redeem yourself. That's what I mean by that. See, you even think you can't pray about your finances because you haven't tithed. No, the Lord will help you even though you haven't. Do you remember what state he found you in? So stop trying to make yourself prettier than you is. And just go by faith and receive from a gracious Father. Amen? Yeah, there are people like, well, yeah, I'm going to ask God to heal my body when I quit doing this and quit doing that. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought about this? I love this thought. How many people were in really good positions and probably just, you know, had their bodies in perfect shape that went to Jesus for healing? How many righteous people went to Jesus for healing? Guys, zero. Jesus hadn't died and rose again yet. Their sin had not been paid for by him yet. And yet, what did he do? He healed multitudes. And he would do it whether they had faith or not at times. Now the religious world will tell you he did that so that we could have a book established. In other words, they think the character of God changed after the disciples or the original apostles all died. Do you know that's foolishness? God's character has never changed. He's the same yesterday and forever. So do you ever see where Jesus said, "I'll heal you if you get your diet right"? Now, I think you should get your diet right. I mean, there's practical things there. Do you ever see him doing that? Did Jesus ever look at somebody and go, "Well, your weight's not right, so I'm not going to heal you"? I've heard of that in healing meetings. I have no scripture for that. None. There's not one place. Well, if you would have done this, then if you do this, then now the Lord may say to you, "Hey, you need to adjust some things here and it will help you." But God has never rejected somebody that came to him in faith because of the current condition they were in. I'm telling you, never. And so believers sometimes will do this. They think, "Well, yeah, I started out pretty good, but then I got off." And so the Lord didn't know you'd get off. Come on, stop letting the devil put roadblocks between you and God for fellowship. Don't let the devil do that. He's a liar. And God's word is truth, amen? So we got to build, and this is what I'm talking about, building this righteousness consciousness within us. All right? So Romans chapter 12 is where I have you. One of the greatest needs of every believer is the renewal of their mind. So Romans chapter 12, it says this, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, within each and every one of us, when we received Christ, the perfect will of God is seated in us. But that the growth, the spiritual maturity of us each individually, we have to develop over time. And as we develop in our relationship with the Lord, we then move from good, we move from what it says there, good, acceptable, and then into perfect. Now, in the spirit, you're already great. But in your mind and concerning your physical body, there are changes that need to take place. Okay? So according to this scripture, Romans 12, verse 2, according to this scripture, what needs to take place for us to walk in the good, the acceptable, and the perfect? There needs to be a what? A transforming of our thinking. So we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So something needs to take place from the time we're born again to the time we grow and mature in Christ. And one of the main things that needs to take place is our thinking needs to change. We need to have a change of thought. Our mind needs to be transformed. Now, the word transformed is metamorpho in the Greek, and I'm not going to try to, you can just spell that any way you want. It's the Greek word 3339, okay? This is straight out of, I look at the Greek words in Strong's, I look at them in Thayer's and Vine's, and they all pretty much have the same definition. Sometimes they'll word them just a little bit different. But I like the way Thayer's Greek lexicon states it. It states that this word means to change into another form. Now, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 through 18 and 19, it talks about the fact that when you and I were born again, our spirits were changed instantly. But your mind was not. So Paul, the gospel and what Paul received as a revelation concerning the gospel is this: something else needs to happen after you're saved. There has to be more change. How does that come? It comes through transformation of your thinking. In other words, when we look into the scriptures and look at what they speak to us about as a Christian, that we're supposed to take that truth and allow it to sink into our thinking and allow the Word of God to transform the way we think. Now, this is super significant because if you're going to speak righteousness and live righteousness, you have to think righteousness. Years ago, my mother-in-law gave me a paper, a form that somebody had written this out that she had, and it said, guard your thoughts because your thoughts become your words. Guard your words because your words become your character. Guard your character because your character becomes your destiny. Do you see it? There's a progression, but where did it start? In your thoughts. You know, there are thousands, millions of Christians right now all over the planet that have dynamite power on the inside of them, and they don't access any of it because they don't even know. They have no knowledge concerning who they are in Christ. They actually are living with problems, begging God to change it, and he's already given them the answer in Christ. But because they're either part of a church that won't teach the reality of who they are in Christ, or they've closed themselves off to it, they're ignorant in some way or rebellious in some way, they don't get the freedom they want, and they think God is holding it back. And he's not. Lack of knowledge is a killer. It's a killer to the believer. What do I mean by that? Well, how does somebody in the natural steal many times, like, I don't want to say identity theft, that is something like that, but how do thieves get into other people's money? Generally good people. They're not thieves, they're not liars, they don't cheat on, they have this money, but a thief will take advantage of with knowledge that they have that the other person doesn't. Well, in the spirit, it's the exact same way. The enemy will tell you, no, you're not the righteousness of God in Christ because you did this last week. When the Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and your sin didn't stop your righteousness, it affected your fellowship, not your relationship. Hello. Otherwise, and I need to set on this point again, if every time you as a believer sin, you lose your righteousness, then you have to get born again every time you sin. In other words, you have to get born again. Now, how many times a week are you going to get born again? If that were the truth, what I just said, if it was true, that every time you sinned, you lost your righteousness. When I give an altar call at the end of every service every week, every one of you should be raising your hands, including me. Do you see it? Some of you are getting it. I can feel it settling in. It's like, oh yeah, that kind of makes sense. You say, well then it doesn't matter if we sin. Of course it does. Why would you want to eat out of the garbage can when you've been given a seat at the master's table? And sin still has an effect on your soul and on your body and on your family. You know, I sometimes people say, well, it doesn't matter what we do, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, okay, practice lying to your spouse for 4 weeks. See if there's any results that you don't like. No, those things affect us, but does God go, they sin? I mean, I just got them born again. That's it. I'm out of here. Does he do that? No. Even when you're unfaithful, he's faithful. He's faithful. You say, what happened here today? I am helping you have your mind transformed. What does it mean to meditate? If you're taking notes, what does it mean to meditate? Meditation is having your mind transformed, of course. It's changing from one condition to another. But meditation, I want to give you this and then we'll be done. Meditation is thinking on verses. Or you could say thinking on something. But meditate, don't think, you know, you're in a room, you got your legs crossed, you got a towel on your head, and you're going, Don't think that, all right? Biblical meditation, I can give you, I have written down here, but we just don't have time to go through them. I may send them out to you, probably will send some of them out to you. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I got 18 verses on meditation from the scripture. All I need is two. Biblical meditation, you're thinking on the scriptures. Now, if you want to cause yourself problems, tell yourself you can't control your mind. But you're thinking on something always. When people say, well, I can't stop my mind. Yes, you can. That's a lie. You can control your mind. It's your mind. Okay? So thinking on verses, that's meditation. Speaking verses to yourself. One of the definitions of meditation is a low, slow, low talking. Low as in volume, low. You're muttering to yourself. One of the words is to mutter. Have you ever muttered? You ever talked to yourself? Every one of you has. You ever been talking to yourself and somebody walks in? Nobody else is around? Like, who are you talking to? Me, of course. I like intelligent conversation. All right. How else can you meditate? Put scriptures, put the word in your conversation. When somebody says, take care, you can say, cast your care. Does it have to be like that? I know what people are saying when they say take care. So if you say it to me, I'm not going to be like, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You know, I'm not that guy, okay? All right, I understand what you're saying, right? Put it in your conversation. Pray the verses, pray verses that speak of your righteousness. Pray them. Do what Jesus did. It is written. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All right? Pray in the Holy Spirit in other tongues and read the scriptures. Meditate them. Go over them. Make a confession out of them. What you're going to say. How many have ever practiced what you're going to say before you said something? Like if you gave a speech or whatever it was. How many have ever given a speech before and you had to write it out and you read it in front of the mirror? Read you in front of the mirror. Look at this and go, oh, I look good. In Christ, I look good. Look at me. I'm one with God. Today, Monday's not a bad day. I'm one with God today. I got a hope and a future. It's bright. I'd turn this around, but it would blind you. I love this. You say, how do you know we're breaking through? Because you got joy in you. I can feel it welling up. Sometimes you got to work it to get there, but you got it. It's there. I'm just helping your mind connect with what's already in you. That's it. That's all I'm doing. This is my job. I get to read scriptures and go, that's you. You're that. And encourage others. So speak these verses to the enemy's thoughts. Hello. When the enemy comes to you, memorize verses. Memorize them. All right? Put the promises of God into the planning of your life. You know, you say, I'm going on vacation. You should say, well, our family is full of the joy of the Lord. So when we go on vacation, we don't fight with each other the whole time. So when we come back, it didn't feel like we were on vacation. I'm reading somebody's mail right now. They're probably on vacation right now watching me online. I'm like, you need to change your confession. Why spend all that money to go somewhere else and fight? You can fight at home and save the money. No, you need to put it in your planning. Wherever we go, the hand of the Lord is with us. The angels of God are around us. The blood of Jesus is over us. We're not stolen from. We're not robbed. We're protected. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us into everything that is good and of favor, because the favor of God is upon us, because we're givers, and every favor and earthly blessing comes to us in abundance. Where I'm going is led by the Holy Spirit. Even though I may have made the plans and I'm going that direction, while I'm there, I'm going to have an opportunity to minister the gospel to somebody while I'm on vacation. Amen? You know, people will do this. Pastor Joy, you can come. They can be involved in whatever they're involved in, go on a vacation or just have a few days off at home. And the enemy will try to do this to you. So you don't have anything that you need to do. You try to sit down or lay down to take a little nap, and your mind will be going like 100 miles an hour. How many ever had that happen before? But the Bible says in Proverbs 3:24, it says, when I lie down, I'll not be afraid. When I lie down, my sleep will be sweet. If you want to have a faith fight, now some people are like, I sit in a chair and I can fall asleep in 2 seconds. Maybe that word's not for you, okay? But you're righteous, and when you meditate on the word, it begins to transform how you think. We're going to get deeper into this, but it'll change. Listen to me. God's word is trustworthy. It will work for you. If you, in simple faith, will act on any promise that he has in faith, he will do his part. If you will, in patient endurance, stay with the Lord, he and his word will work for you. And you can see a breakthrough in any area of your life. And in the righteousness category, in talking about this specific subject, many times believers are living in under a load of condemnation when God is not even remotely upset with you. And what you don't realize is condemnation stops bold faith. But a righteousness mindset will increase your bold faith. And when the enemy comes in to steal from you, you'll rise up and go, oh, nope. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over me and mine. I am in covenant with God based on what Jesus accomplished, and what he began in me, I will complete. Amen? You can do that. So I encourage you this week, speak out. Speak the word over your life. Be strong in the Lord. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.